Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Alex Ruzicka has supported independent tech news directly for just about a day. Why not be like Alex and become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS?
This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, April 24th, 2019 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
We do not have Scott Johnson because he's getting ready for his trip to Las Vegas this weekend for the Viva TMS Vegas event that I will also be at. But we're very blessed to have Nicole Lee, senior editor from Engadget, back on the show. How's it going, Nicole?
Hey, how's it going? It's good. I'm reporting from surprisingly sunny San Francisco. So,
yeah. <I'm here. laughs> Roger was trying to feel better about not living there anymore. And you're like, oh, no, it's sunny and wonderful today in San Francisco.
Yes.
Right. Well, folks, Nicole's got an interesting article she's been working on for Engadget about magazines and the unusually tech startup publishers that make them these days. But let's start with a few other tech things you should know.
TF Industries' Ming-Chi Kuo reports that his sources say that Apple will launch new AirPod models sometime between September and March. One of the models will have an all-new design as well.
No more cigarette butts hanging out of yours. AT&T lost subscribers in all its services except wireless last quarter. TV subscribers fell 544,000. DirecTV Now subscribers fell 83,000. But AT&T added 80,000 wireless phone subscribers, perhaps by telling them they were getting 5G when they weren't. I don't know. Warner Media operating income rose 11.6%. That also helped bolster total revenue to $44.8 billion and earnings per share of 86 cents.
A state court in Tamil Nadu, India, moved to reverse its ban on the TikTok app. The court had previously ruled that the app encouraged pornography and caused Apple and Google to remove both from their stores in India. The federal IT ministry will request that Apple and Google reinstate TikTok to their stores there. Doesn't appear that this latest decision will be appealed.
Yeah, so this might be the end of the road. ByteDance may have won this battle. And the Telegraph reports that during a National Security Council meeting, the UK Prime Minister has approved the use of Huawei equipment in non-core parts of 5G networks built in the country. A recent report by the UK's Huawei Cybersecurity Evaluation Center Oversight Board said it could only provide limited assurance that risks to national security posed by Huawei parts could be mitigated, but they did not recommend a ban, so this is consistent with.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
That report. All right, let's talk a little more. I promise we won't talk about it every day, but we have a little more news around the Galaxy Fold, right, Sarah?
We do, and it comes from iFixit, and iFixit is they do good work. iFixit released the results of its teardown of the Samsung Galaxy Fold, calling the design alarmingly fragile. While the hinge seems sturdy, iFixit found dirt could easily get between that 7-nanometer gap between the bezel and the OLED screen. It said, quote, when closed, the screen is protected, but the spine is flanked by massive gaps that are opening picks hop right into, quote. This may explain what happened to the model at The Verge, and iFixit says you'll almost certainly be replacing the screen before long.
I think it's an important point because some people have said, well, Samsung said the hinge was sturdy and these things are breaking, but the hinge is not breaking. Those 200,000 repetitions of the hinge, those seem to be real, and the hinge is fairly sturdy. They just engineered too much of a gap here, and dust can get in. You know, 7 millimeters, that's almost a centimeter. I know that means nothing to Sarah because, you know, but it's like, you know, 1/3 of an inch.
You know? Yeah, I mean, get rid of the metric system and then I'll pay
please.
Attention.
Don't start us on that road. But that's a healthy gap. And it sounds like that combined with the fact that it's a plastic screen, which we all know people were pulling off the protective layer. It makes sense why this is happening now. Nicole, though, don't you think that this is something they would have expected to happen?
Yes, like this seems like after the Galaxy Note debacle that they went through, like how many years ago that was, you would think that they would double down on checking it and making sure everything worked well before handing it to reviewers who you know will tear it apart and who you know will examine every nook and cranny of this thing and to sort of backtrack and say, oh, it's a prototype. No, you didn't say it was before you had sent it out to people. You can't just... I don't know.
I get when you send review units and you say this isn't the final production model, there may be some weird things. That's fair, right? Sure. And especially when it comes to software, that is often the case. We're like, well, there's this weird bug, but they said they'll fix it by the time the final software ships. But a hinge with a 7-millimeter gap doesn't feel like something that, oh, we just didn't catch it. That's only the prototype, right? Like that seems like something that would have been caught earlier in the design phase if they thought it was a problem. Apparently, they didn't think it was a problem.
Yeah. Feels like more R&D should have been done here.
I mean, clearly.
More
I mean,
D, for sure. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, at this point, it's pretty clear. Sure, the product may not have been ready for release, but there are these real-world issues that people who were testing the product were like, yeah, something's up here. And I think that no matter how much internal testing you do, sometimes a company still can get that wrong. And it's not because they don't care or it's not because they're rushing a product necessarily. It's because when you actually have real people who are using something, they will notice things that you just didn't notice because you were so kind of, you know,
blinders are on a little bit. Yeah, exactly. That's fair. I mean, I would say then Samsung should hire iFixit to test their stuff.
Yes,
probably.
It didn't take them that long in the relative scheme of things to figure this out. At a board meeting on Tuesday, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the folks who bring you so many things, including the Oscars, voted not to change eligibility rules for feature-length films. Any movie that has at least a 7-day theater run with 3 showings a day minimum will remain eligible. That's been the rule. It's going to stay the rule. If you remember, Steven Spielberg had led a movement to try to maybe get that rule changed to increase the requirement for the theater run in order to disqualify some Netflix movies, which don't get the usual 90-day theater exclusive run. One change that was approved was renaming the foreign film category to international. I thought that was somewhat interesting. I don't know.
And that's probably the right move.
I guess. I don't know. I mean,
you know, also, I mean, yeah.
You're basically, but aren't all the movies international?
Yeah. But it's,
whatever.
You know,
I don't want to get too hung up on that.
It's a little bit more of like a PC move than anything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steven Spielberg was also called out as soon as he was part of Apple's latest rollout of their upcoming TV.
Apple TV+.
Exactly. That, you know, it's like, oh, well, now we know why Steven Spielberg was railing against Netflix, because he was in cahoots with Apple this whole time. And there's probably some truth to that.
I don't know. I think the Apple versus Netflix thing is overplayed. Not that they aren't competitors, but I think it is overplayed. I think Steven Spielberg feels like some of the Netflix movies, not Roma, but some of the Netflix movies deserve to be in theaters. And that movies that are given an Oscar should be the kind of movie that is best consumed in a theater. I think he honestly believed he was arguing something legitimate. Like, Oscars should only go to movies that are meant for the theater, for the big experience. And Netflix has both. Netflix has some made-for-TV movie styles, and it has some theater styles. And if they have theater styles, they should prove that they're meant for theaters by marketing them first.
The Google Fit health tracking app is coming to iOS with full integration with Apple Health. Last August, Google focused the Fit app on smart activity goals created with the American Heart Association. Move Minutes tracks all kinds of physical activity. Heart points are awarded for things like brisk walks and workouts and at least 100 steps a minute. It also tracks steps, calories burned, and distance walked. Google Fit adjusts goals based on your progress. And on iOS, it can now pull data from the phone and Apple Watch, as well as from Wear OS devices.
I don't want to make too much out of this. You know, it's not like we're in an open universe where everybody can make anything and it runs on anything. But it is nice to see this trend of the big companies, at least, making more of their stuff run on other stuff. So I'm an Apple Watch user. The idea that I could use Google Fit now to tap into that on an iPhone means I don't have to think about which device I own. I can own a Wear OS, I can own an Apple phone, I can own an Android phone, I can own an Apple Watch, and I can decide that Google Fit is my preferred way of tracking all this stuff, and I think that's good.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a consumer, that's a total win. Nicole, I don't know how much fitness tracking you're doing on watches or iOS apps or the like, but what's your take on this?
Well, I think it's definitely, I think it helps both sides, to be honest with you. I think it helps Apple Health improve its product. You know, maybe they'll see something Google's doing that they're not doing and they'll try to incorporate it or make their product better than Google's. And I think that's good for consumers in the end. Hopefully both companies, competition will help, you know, elevate features on both devices. And that, more importantly for me, is that the idea is that you can use any wearable you want. Whether you want to use a Wear OS or whether you want to use an Apple Watch or whatever it is, you can use it on hopefully any phone. Of course, I don't think this works with on the other way around per se with the, you know, Apple Watch on Android. I'm not entirely sure on that just yet. But at least this is one way to do it. And hopefully this will help open up conversations around cross interoperability on everything else.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to pretend like, oh, it's all good now. Everything works on everything. But it's nice to see moves this way. And I like that Google is working with the American Heart Association and trying to come up with better ways of motivating you with, you know, heart points and move minutes may sound kind of silly, but an easy number that you can see go up or down is a great motivator. Usually that's been steps, which is better than nothing, but steps aren't the best, most accurate way to measure whether you're improving your health. And this does. This says like, oh, we're gonna separate certain kinds of activity from heart healthy activity so you can get a better handle on that. I think that's good.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, back in the day when we were all getting used to mobile apps and the fact that it's like, oh, you can do like Google stuff with an iOS, like great, they're all working great together. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. It's very complicated. But when it comes to these companies trying to further fitness apps, you know, and let's call them watches in this situation, and all of the things that people can get used to using, and in many cases for their own health benefit, like real stuff, like it, you know, this is not posturing on the company's parts. It's actual good stuff happening. Then I think we all win.
Yeah. Old guy says, who even knows what that means, though? And the thing is, you can actually go in and find out what that means. The American Heart Association and Google define what the minutes mean. But in the day to day, you don't want to have to track 15 different numbers that's made up of. You want one score that you can have some confidence is giving you an idea if you're going in the right direction or not. Microsoft issued a support document saying its May 2019 Windows 10 update may not install on systems that use external USB storage or SD cards due to an inappropriate drive reassignment, and they will block installation when it detects those cases. Now, there's an easy way around this. You can remove your thumb drive or your external USB drive or your SD card, make sure that's all out of there, then restart May 2019 update, and it'll work fine. And then once it's updated, plug everything back in. If you're running Windows off a thumb drive, obviously you can't do that. And Microsoft does plan to address the drive reassignment problem in the future. One thing to note, this drive reassignment bug apparently showed up in the Windows 10 April 2018 update, although it didn't cause a problem till now. So if you have a version of Windows 10 prior to the April 2018 update, you haven't updated since then, you can update to the May 2019 update without worrying about this, even if you have your external drives plugged in and all of that. So a lot of people are trying to play this off as like, here we go again. Microsoft with a bug delaying their update, but it's not delaying the update. This is the new system working and catching a bug and being able to give advice about it before people actually get to the update, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in the camp of did not update before April of 2018. So this is, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear about this rather than the alternative.
Yeah, Nicole, I don't know if this affects you at all, does it?
No, I don't. I don't really have. I mean, I do have a Windows machine, but I don't have any external USB storage or anything like that. So this doesn't really affect me. But you know, this is a good workaround that they mentioned, Jerome, removing those media first before installing the update.
Slightly annoying, but at least you can do it.
Yeah.
UAV delivery company Zipline is expanding its unmanned aircraft deliveries to Ghana. If you're not familiar, it will deliver 150 different medicines, vaccines, and blood to 2,000 clinics in the country. Zipline drones can travel up to 160 kilometers at speeds of up to 100 kilometers per hour. Zipline has operated in Rwanda since 2016, which is where you might have heard the story or the name at least before, and began rolling out service for Tanzania last year as well.
So, yeah, I mentioned this when we were talking to Patrick about the Project Wing announcement coming to the U.S., and I don't think Zipline gets enough credit for having run an actual drone delivery service for real, doing important things for years, for more than 3 years. This is a real thing. Africa has had drone delivery longer than any other continent, I think. I'm pretty sure. This has been the longest running commercial company. And I think it gets dismissed sometimes because people say, well, it's just limited. Oh, it's just medicine. Oh, it's just in Rwanda. Oh, well, now it's in Tanzania, but I don't know where that is. And I think this is really impressive. I don't think Zipline gets enough due for what it's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nicole, you mentioned you were from Malaysia earlier in the show. What is the sort of drone delivery landscape look like there?
I don't think, well, Malaysia has a lot more, what do you call that? Infrastructure.
Right.
More so than I think countries like this is supposed to cater to. So it's good there. I do think it's really important to have these delivery systems to remote areas in Ghana, not just Ghana, but anywhere in the world really that needs, sure. Yeah. You know, medicines and vaccines, ASAP.
Well, we were talking before the show, too. Like, all the attention gets paid to people wanting their burritos delivered. But suddenly, when someone's delivering something much more important, well, I mean, a burrito is pretty important, but I think your medicine is probably even more important than a burrito.
Burrito can be life or death. But, yeah.
Right. And you know, I think you'd be surprised. I mean, granted, yes, Malaysia has better infrastructure than probably Rwanda has. But I think you'd be surprised the infrastructure that's available. And I also don't think that if they had all of the infrastructure that would have solved this problem. I mean, obviously, we all want this drone delivery in places with heavy infrastructure as well for the convenience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, folks, Zipline, go give them a pat on the back and say thank you for being the pioneer. That's what I say. Absolutely. To get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. So we have told you many times over the past year, if you've been listening close to DTNS, about tech companies doing magazines. I mean, years ago, CNET started a magazine that it still puts out. There's also Airbnb with a magazine we've talked about. We talked about Netflix putting out a limited magazine in advance of Emmy consideration to try to drum up support for its shows to get Emmys. Bumble has a magazine. The list goes on. Nicole Lee, you've been looking into this. Why are all of these tech companies turning to dead tree media? I thought the whole point was like, we got apps now, you know, these startups are proving we don't need to read on print anymore.
Right. So I have a couple here on the video version here. This is Airbnb, beautiful, glossy magazine. This Bumble, another beautiful, glossy magazine. And these magazines are, I would say they're, if I didn't know they were from Airbnb or Bumble, like they're legit magazines. Like it's Airbnb is a legit travel lifestyle magazine. Bumble is a legit, you know, female focused interest magazine. And I think it's really interesting because on one hand, they're like a real magazine, like, you know, with real interesting stories and photos and all that. But they're also kind of marketing vehicles, right? Like these are basically, like they're basically marketing Airbnbs around the world. They're basically marketing the app as far as Bumble goes. So it's kind of a twofold effort in terms of like, this is a magazine, a real quote unquote magazine, but also with this brand behind it, right? But it's just weird because, you know, when I'm looking at Airbnb, does it make me want to use Airbnb? Maybe. I'm not entirely sure of that juxtaposition there. And the same thing that goes with Bumble, because, you know, I'm not, you know, in the need for a dating app, but this is more than just dating, and it has like tips for work situations, tips for toxic friendships in here. And so it's kind of a general interest magazine.
A lot of it, you know, and I am holding my most recent copy of the Airbnb magazine, which actually came to the person that lived in my apartment before me. So it wasn't actually, you know, it didn't actually come to me, but I enjoyed it. This is a nice magazine.
It's nice.
It's really nice. There's a lot of information here. You also get the sense that, and you know, I have been an enthusiastic Airbnb user for years. I love the service, and I've definitely stayed in Airbnbs in cities all over the world. So I get the idea of it. At the same time, like any magazine, you know, there are obvious kind of underhanded advertising handshake situations going on, right? You know, where it's like, hey, the coolest, best place to hang out in Austin, Texas. You know, it's sort of like when you read an airline magazine on an airplane and you're like, okay, I get it. This is, you know,
real just articles, like, but we understand.
Real articles, yeah. Really, but
you're trying to get us to want to travel more.
Yeah. Airline. There is an agenda.
Yeah.
But again, that said, I'm like, I can't wait for my next Airbnb.
Now, do these things cost money, Nicole? I know some, like the CNET magazine, you pay for a subscription. They just launched that four or 5 years ago. But Airbnb, do they send this to you for free?
So that's the other thing is that both Airbnb magazine and Bumble magazine, they partner with Hearst. And Hearst is a giant in the magazine industry. They do Esquire, Elle Decor, all of those things. So because of this partnership, that's why the magazine is so good. And that's why it has these beautiful articles. I mean, that's why there's the credibility is there. And the thing with Airbnb magazine is that they're charging for this.
Okay.
This is like, you know, there's money behind this. According to Airbnb, it's $18 for a year subscription, or it's per issue. It's like $6 per issue. Like, this is like $6.
That's pricey. I mean, if that wasn't called Airbnb, though, I probably wouldn't blink because, you know, Travel and Leisure and all those kinds of magazines are about the same, right? So, I'm surprised they don't call it something else. Like, Uber's magazine is called Vehicle, right? And that seems kind of like that's the route I would expect them to go. Like, let's just make it look like it's a really good car magazine. And guess what? It's actually, you know, made by Uber.
Right. And the thing with Airbnb is that they charge for it, but they also, I mean, they're also sending it, obviously, as Sarah, you mentioned, they're also sending it for free to various Airbnb hosts around the country and so forth as like a little like, oh, this is, you're staying here for a weekend. It's like a nice little magazine to read about, you know, just travel in general.
You can subscribe as a host and leave these out for your guests, I suppose.
So it's, it's free for hosts and free for customers. The same thing with Bumble. I think it's free for subscribers and so forth. So I think a lot of these do start out with the free model, but Airbnb is strange in the sense that they're charging for this. And I kind of want to say it's really, it looks like it costs money.
Yeah.
If it's
real journalists, real editors.
It's real. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks really genuine. And you mentioned Uber's Vehicle, and that one is very limited. I think it's released only in Seattle and DC at the moment. And that's like a very limited focus thing. And according to what I don't have the actual physical copy with me, but from what I understand, it's very similar-ish. Doesn't have the same power of Hearst behind it, so maybe not as flashy as some of these magazines. But it does have a similar feeling, in the sense of like they're asking journalists to actually write real stories about the area they live in, you know, or real recommendations of a local restaurant.
Right. It's not just a vanity
whatever.
Piece, right?
Right. Yeah. So
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Airbnb model is perfect because, as you said, Nicole, you can have it on the coffee table when your guest comes in, and it's all part of the experience that they were, you know, they had signed on to initially. With Bumble? Okay.
You bring it on your date? I don't know.
or I don't know, like maybe it's at the, you know, the hair salon or I don't know. There are definitely places where these things can be placed, but where they're placed vary wildly based on the companies that they originate from.
Well, and that's my last question here is, you know, we are seeing the decline of print. We're seeing magazines go out of business all the time. We're seeing magazine sections get smaller and smaller in the places that even still have them. So why is this a good idea? I mean, if they're pouring Hearst quality into this, that can't be cheap.
Oh, yeah. I think this is totally, I mean, if you look at print subscriber numbers in the past years, I mean, they're not pretty, right? I mean, I think everybody knows this. But I think this is kind of part of Hearst's like money-making strategy because, you know, Airbnb is paying them really to like make these magazines. So it's kind of like another revenue outlet. You could kind of think of it that way.
What does Airbnb
kind
of get out of it, though?
Airbnb gets name recognition. They get name recognition. They get,
but if
like,
no
sort
one's
of
reading magazines, how does that work?
Well, that's what older people who might be at an Airbnb are like, oh, cool. This is a real, like, this look. Oh,
I'm just wondering if it's like this sort of trend I've been tracking where millennials read print books more than we would have expected. Right. Vinyl is on an uprise with the sale.
Like, well, there might be something to that as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So according to some of the articles I've read, Airbnb's executives do say, oh, there's some kind of quality that print lends to the magazine experience, that print adds this quality to it. And I think they're sort of trying to add an air of legitimacy or air of like, you know, specialness about their brand with the advent of these magazines. I think for Airbnb, it's kind of like a quality kind of like branding issue, I think. And of course, for Hearst, they're making money, right? It's better than losing money, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I still read Scientific American in print form, even though I can also get it. I get it on digital as part of my subscription. I just, you know, every once in a while I'll read it in digital because I'm like, oh, I forgot to bring the magazine with me. So it's a nice backup. Yeah. But there's something more relaxing about, like, I'm just going to focus in on my print magazine when I read
print magazine. Their audience. Yeah. I mean, Yeah, it's better. I mean, an iPad is one thing, but a real physical magazine is a whole other experience. Like flipping through it, it's a very different feel for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to get interrupted by a text message or an Amber Alert or.
I got an Amber Alert this morning.
There've
in
been
fact,
like four today in this area.
Scared me. Oh, yeah. Scared the bejesus out of me. But
not
you know,
that they aren't anyway. Important. I'm just saying.
No, they're very important. I always look at them, but still, when you're deep into tech news research, sometimes you're like, oh my God, what is happening with my phone? Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You submit all the stories and you can submit more and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Richard wrote in and said, last year, my family and I stayed in Airbnb while on vacation. This is so apropos, Richard. I noticed a Google Home Mini on the counter. And the first thing I thought was, somebody could be listening to our conversations. Since this wasn't my own device, I was even more apprehensive about it. So I unplugged it right away and I left it unplugged with a note for the host explaining what I did.
Yeah, I'm not going to accuse Richard of being overly paranoid. That's a perfectly sensible thing to do. If you're like, you know what? I don't want my conversations to accidentally trigger this and then get logged on an account that I don't have access to.
Yeah,
that's totally fair. I get that.
I get that too.
But I found this TechCrunch article of a survey from Microsoft that said 41% of voice assistant users are concerned about passive listening. And the fact of the matter is, like, I want to make clear to people, these voice assistants aren't constantly logging everything you say in the room you're in with them. There is a short buffer that has been audited by security professionals that is only checking for the wake word and then discarding its data. Now, you can be paranoid and say, well, I don't believe that. But people that I trust have said, no, that's what it's doing. And it only actually logs things and sends it through the cloud when you say the wake word. Now, granted, like I said, you could accidentally say the wake word and have it log something. And that's why it's good that these have ways for you to go in and check and say, oh, you know what? I want to delete that. I want to delete that. And maybe that's why you might want to mute it or unplug it in Richard's case. But I don't want people to think like, oh, if you have one of these in the room, it's constantly recording you like a dictaphone going, because that's not.
No, certainly. I mean, hotel rooms are, you know, they're only going to increase putting either Echoes or Google Homes or the like in their systems as well, with the idea that it's going to help you as a person. So yeah, I mean, if you're paranoid, I think Richard, you're not wrong. But again, yeah, it probably has a lot more to do with who your host is rather than what Amazon or Google is doing.
Yeah. Oh, and a quick note from Josiah, longtime listener and supporter. Thank you, Josiah. The reason we might see Project Wing being tested in Christiansburg, Virginia, is because that's the home of Virginia Tech. About 35,000 students there. He says they have unexpected advantages like a concentrated population, educated population with higher income because of the university. So it may not be as surprising as you might have thought that that's where they're testing it. Thank you, Josiah.
Thank you very much, Josiah. And also thank you to Nicole Lee for being with us. Nicole, we missed you and thanks for being back. Let folks know where they can keep up with all your latest work.
Yeah, you can read about this magazine, internet company, friendship, partnership issue on Engadget.com later this week.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that. Also follow Nicole on Twitter, twitter.com/Nicole.
Yep.
Our goal each month is to get one more patron than last month, and we're getting closer and closer to that every day. In fact, if we just have one more person sign up every day between now and the 30th, we will have at least one more person than last month. And there is some cool stuff. Today, Roger has his column coming out, patreon.com/DTNS. And on Saturday, I'm going to, for the $5 and up users, post an editor's desk where I walk through all of the ways that I choose stories for the show when I'm helping try to decide the rundown. So if you're interested in that, become a patron. Sign up now at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more and tell a friend at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Justin Robert Young. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.